friends, and thank you for listening to the Hope Canteen Podcast, where we look at a reading for the upcoming Sunday for insight into our walk with Christ. This is our 33rd episode. My name is Steve London, pastor at St. Thomas Anglican, and happy to be joined, as always, by Stephanie London, pastor at both St. Thomas and St. Columba, and Michael Rolfe, retired archdeacon of the diocese and assistant priest at St. Thomas. So I'm curious, we skipped a week or so. How are you? How was your Christmas?
Well, ours was good, as you know.
I was there.
Yeah, we have everybody studying from home right now, so things are a bit chaotic, but we got to hibernate and the week after Christmas, and that was really nice. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, one of the funny projects that we entered into, because we had so much time, it was kind of neat. My kids have never seen the Avengers movies, of which there are 20. So we started watching through them, and we have now watched 15 of the 20. So that was kind of our hibernation project.
Yeah, it's not theological at all.
Got hooked into watching those schmaltzy love story movies, that one after another after another. Interesting, because they all tell you they're either from California or somewhere in the eastern seaboard of the United States, but they're all filmed in Vancouver, which is really kind of cool to see Canadian scenery. We had a good Christmas. We just didn't get into the sharing the meal thing that we've done. We did that back at Easter. We tried to do the big meal and just peddle the food around from house to house. But this year we just all did our own thing. Stayed in touch via FaceTime, opened presents, and it was good. We got through. There was a certain fear about Christmas, I think, and by the time we got through, we were congratulating ourselves. We survived.
Yes, maybe that needs to be a t-shirt for all of us. We survived Christmas 2020.
Yeah.
In this week's episode, we're actually following the Christmas season. We're talking about one of the great feasts of the church, Epiphany. This is the season that follows right on the heels of Christmas and is meant to give us deeper insight into who this child Jesus is. The story we're looking at today is the famous story of the three magi. If you wish to read the story ahead of time, you can pause the podcast here and turn to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In our story for this coming Sunday, we have the magi traveling east, following a bright star in the sky. They read this star as a sign heralding the birth of a king, and they stop off in Jerusalem to ask about this newly born king. Unfortunately for them, there already is a king, King Herod. It's obvious he too wants to find where this new king is, but for more ominous reasons. He does end up pointing them to the town of Bethlehem because the scriptures predict that this is the place where the Messiah would be born. The Magi go and find the child, and with great joy they pay homage and give three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then they are warned in a dream to not go back to Herod, but leave by a different route. So, Stephanie and Michael, this is one of the most familiar stories, I think, around Christmas time, probably second only to the story of the shepherds. Just curious, what stands out to you in this story?
Well, one of the commentators talks about these three, as we call them, the wise men, who were indeed wise. They were obviously scholars. They had studied. This wasn't something that just happened upon them. They were aware of that something great was going to happen in the future. They'd come to that understanding, but they weren't with their noses buried in the books, just always studying. They were aware of the world around them. So when something momentous happened, they were able to follow up on it. And not only did they follow up, they didn't wait for the news to tell them exactly what had happened. They went in search of it to figure out what was going on, because it seemed to be possibly the fulfillment of what they had studied all those years ahead.
They're kind of mysterious figures, maybe astronomers, maybe astrologers, which there really wasn't the division between those two back then. But like you said, Michael, they were very learned, maybe belonged to, some people speculate, the Zoroastrian religion, which was a Middle Eastern monotheistic religion. I listened to this story and I think, like, it's just amazing that people from from far away would look at a star and actually follow it for maybe 2 years or something and catch the significance of that. I don't look in the sky and see any significance in the stars.
I think this is one of the interesting parts that sometimes people fail to understand the timeline, because when we do our pageants and nativity scenes, we have this story where Mary and Joseph show up, they have to go to the inn, she gives birth, and then shepherds show up, and then about 20 minutes later, the magi show up, and so they're all in this big circle together singing Silent Night. But it might actually be like Stephanie said, as much as 2 years, it might have been that the star appeared at the birth of Christ, and so they follow the star, but as much as 2 years later. And the reason we think that is because when Herod gets to the tragic scene right after this story with the killing of the children in Bethlehem, he dates it to all children 2 years and under for that reason.
Wondering whether the star was like a light that God threw a switch when Jesus was born to turn on the light, or whether the star had been there for a long time and they had begun to follow it significantly before the birth.
Yeah, it's a good question. This is one of those stories where there's lots of imagery around it that isn't necessarily in the story. The classic one is, you know, our nativity scene that we have here has three men and a camel. And you look at Christmas cards and it's three men and a camel, but there's no mention in the story itself about, you know, that poor camel or the number of them. There's three gifts, but it's something that has perpetuated in our kind of collective imagination to say that there were three.
It came apparently from what present day is Iran. So they had traveled a significant distance to get to the Holy Land, to Bethlehem, if that's where they in fact encountered Jesus. It was a big journey for them.
Thanks for bringing that up, Michael, because I actually find that of great spiritual significance. When I look at my own faith, I'm a bit in awe that these magi would pick up, leave their life, travel dangerous roads, to be frank, to get to the Holy Land, to spend not a lot of time. It doesn't tell us how much time. I think Stephanie joked the other day, 15 minutes. We don't know how long they stayed, but obviously they didn't move in and then went back home. But as much as what, several months to possibly 2 or 3 years of their life, that's how important this child, who they didn't even know his name, was to them. And so I asked myself, well, then how important should Jesus be for me that they did this. This was that important. This was so world momentous that people from outside Israel came to pay homage. I just find that inspiring.
Yeah, that it would take, that what they got seeing Jesus was worth all that effort. And I think the irony in this story is that the people who should have recognized that, the people who should have recognized how momentous the birth of Jesus was, didn't at all. So we have the figure in the story that we haven't talked about yet, Herod. He's only concerned about his own power. You know, if people had actually seen how important Jesus was, people from the towns around probably should have been showing up and saying, wow, here's the Messiah, and this is someone worthy of worship. But instead, apart from the shepherds, the only ones who recognize that are these foreigners who are following a star.
I'm impressed by the way that God protected this child. But you know, the message to the Magi that when they left, they were not to go by the same route, because they were not to return to Herod, but instead had to go home by a different route. God was so concerned that this child should be protected and should mature as we celebrate through the rest of the Christian year, that's impressive that God's hand was in all of this right from the very beginning, just as this was happening.
Yeah, it's almost like the Magi have a change of heart in there. On like at the beginning, they're going to Herod because obviously he's the king, he's the ruler, the one in power, he's the one who should know about these significant events. But once they actually meet Jesus, they're not interested in going back to Herod at all. They've got what they came for, and it was the baby. It wasn't this guy on the throne.
They were more impressed by the baby than by the king.
Well, and I think that's part of the point of the gospel. What should we be impressed at? I want to return for a moment, Stephanie, with what you were talking about, that these people are foreigners. And that's actually a really important spiritual truth of this passage that the church has looked back to for centuries. Most people forget that actually the biggest controversy in the ancient church after Jesus ascended into heaven was whether Christianity should remain a Jewish tradition, religion, or should it be opened up to what they call the Gentiles. And of course, the Gentiles is just the Greek word meaning the nations, the people who are outside Israel. And of course, it was finally discerned that yes, Jesus' message was for all humanity, that God loves everyone and redemption is for everyone, and everyone is invited to the great table, the eschatological feast. And in the church, looking at this story of the Magi, they've always discerned that this was a peek into that truth, that Jesus' message was going to be universal. It wasn't just for the people of Israel, though it was very much for them and from them, but it was always meant to start there and expand out. And so we have this glimpse with these Magi traveling, like you said, from Persia. They might have been Zoroastrians coming to pay homage.
Yeah, that's a really significant point, because in the Old Testament, these prophecies of the Messiah and the things we look back to as pointing to Jesus all happened within the story of Israel. And Matthew, as a gospel in particular, is very concerned with tying Jesus back to that story and to saying that these things within Israel's history are embodied in Jesus and spoken to by Jesus. So for Matthew, particularly, to tell us the story of the Magi, where Israel is, in a sense, the path of Israel's salvation is being opened up to the whole world, it's something to take note of for sure.
Graphically, they came from the East. We talk about that. Significantly, though, that because the East hadn't played a part in the narrative of the people of Israel, it was from the south, from Egypt that they had come, and so now suddenly these people from the East are new players in the drama of faith.
And with the star being in there as well, that opens it up not just to all people, but there's a cosmic significance to the birth of Jesus.
That's actually a great point. Yeah, that's exactly right, that this is a vision of, I guess, the coming together of all things. We could, of course, continue to reflect on this for quite some time. Just for time, though, we'll, as we come to the end of our podcast, I'm just wondering, is there anything in particular, as we're in this Epiphany season, we're coming out of Christmas, anything that you reflect on personally, particularly in this time?
I'm caught up constantly with the concept of light. For us in the Northern Hemisphere, this is the season when the light starts to return because of the way the planet moves around the sun. But so lights are important to me at this time of year. Candles and lights outside the house, which we celebrate the vision that we have because of light. And so I find myself dwelling upon that, and the fact that it's a bright star that draws these wise men to the birthplace or to wherever Jesus was at that time, that's important. The brightness of the light and the dawning of a new age with the birth of Jesus is important.
That's a great point, Michael, because I think it's embedded in the word epiphany. We call it manifestation, but I think it actually means illumination. We might even call it enlightenment. I think for me, following that, if I have an illumination from the wise men, and actually this will probably come out in a little bit of my sermon, just because this is what I've been meditating about, is again, this importance to the Magi to give up so much and to come so far to pay homage. And that act of homage to this child is so important to them. It actually does make me reflect again at how important in my own life I pay homage or worship to Christ, and how important that should be for me. So I think I'm meditating on that, the real Christ-centeredness of my life and what that looks like.
I've been thinking back this year to that cosmic event that we just had where Jupiter and Saturn lined up in the sky. And people were saying, well, maybe this is what happened to form the Star of Bethlehem at Jesus' birth. And things happen in the sky all the time. But this time, in the middle of the pandemic, it seemed like people needed something to get excited about, something that was maybe bigger than what we've been going through. And I don't know about all of you, but we were watching people talking about it on Facebook. We were watching the weather. People were texting and saying, oh, it's going to be cloudy. Oh, I'm so disappointed. And it was too cloudy on the actual day, but on the day after, it was clear. So we went outside to our front walk and we found it in the sky and we looked at it through a telescope and it was really exciting. And in a sense, that event, that convergence of Jupiter and Saturn just brought us out of our everyday lives for an hour or two and connected us with this story and also with friends who were watching the same thing. And I think what that says to me in this particular situation right now is to remember that God always has the capacity to surprise us. And sometimes we need to step out of our ordinary lives and look for where's the star, where's God showing up, where are things happening that just don't make rational sense, but maybe we need to follow.
I might have a song that we used to teach to the kids in Sunday school, much to your surprise, God is a surprise. Surprise, surprise, God is a surprise right before your eyes. That's sort of what you were saying, Stephanie.
What a great place to end on. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We enjoy so much having conversations around faith. We believe having conversations around faith is so important. If you wish to participate in the conversation or have something to add to it, you could send me an email at revstevelondon@gmail.com or leave it in the comments at thehopecanteen.org. Is that where it is?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So until next week, we'll see you then.
Take care.
For now.